second chapter. Grads, if you will take those Bibles that you have, somehow you're going to be able to find that text. It's right there. I marked it for you so you can see it. So let's pray, then we'll get started. Loving Heavenly Father, we have this moment in time with you, with these graduates, with your people. And we would ask that you would powerfully move. Thank you for the music we've been able to be a part of, singing praise to your name, the music we've been able to be a part of, and just worshiping and listening to. I thank you for each of these men and women. And I pray your grace and your mercy and your help upon their lives now. Thank you that they've come to this point and they are ready to step out. And I pray as they step out, they will be looking to you to guide and direct and to help. Each of them are precious and special. I thank you for the way you've made them. And I thank you for their parents and their grandparents and those who have been involved in their lives to this point to help them along. Thank you for that input and that care. And Father, I pray now as we look at your word that you would minister to each of us through your spirit as you would determine. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Kings, the second chapter. And I want to read three verses there. As David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I'm going the way of the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord, your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn. Well, congratulations certainly goes out to each of you this day. Graduating from high school is indeed a big deal, and you're to be commended for it. It's been quite a journey for each of you, I'm sure, and your stories, I'm sure, would vary. But your parents and those, they've all been a part, grandparents and loved ones have been a part of that journey with you. And I know a lot of prayer has gone into getting you to this point in life, and so we recognize that. We also recognize the faithfulness of God. Every time I do one of these, I'm met with, in my own heart, I've got some varying feelings today that come with this. For one, I'm really extremely proud of you guys and encouraged and excited for you for the next step. But then again, we're not going to get to see you as much as we have, so I don't like that so much. But I think God's word has something to say to us today that can be very helpful as you go from here. Now, I'm going to address these seniors specifically, but generally, this word is, of course, for all of us. And God has something, I believe, that will be helpful to each of you. I could really wrap this sermon up in four words. Maybe after I'm done with it, you may have thought that, well, I just wish he'd have said those four words and we could have been done. But I want to encourage you now, in your bulletins, there's an insert on the back of the prayer page. But I can wrap up what I have to say in four words today to you guys, and that is to stay true to God. God has given you life. All those who know him, your life is a gift from God. It's precious. It goes really fast. Believe it or not, I was your age one time. And when you're my age, you'll look back and it will have been sort of like just a vapor. It flies by. And I've stood here and I don't know how many times I've addressed our grads, and it's a real privilege. I have to tell you, a tremendous privilege to me. I've said a lot of different things through the years, and we've looked at God's word and tried to challenge you and encourage you. But I've noticed as I've watched graduates go from here, that some have given themselves over to the pleasures of the world. They've chartered their own course, absent from the word, estranged from God, and in rebellion to him. Their stories are one of foolish choices made one after another. That's a possibility for each of you. Their lives are lived for themselves, but you know, there are others, many others, who have decided to take a different course. They're standing strong and courageous. They're forsaking the best that the enemy has to offer to them. They are striving to make a difference where God has planted them. Their joy is contagious. They've stayed true to God. And that's what I want to challenge you with today. There's something here that I think is so precious. And let's think about it for a moment. In 1 Kings 2, the third verse says, "Keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways," and so forth. This is David toward the end of his life. The scripture says he's about to die. He's a man that's walked with God a lifetime. And he's had ups and downs. God has used him powerfully to minister to his people. He's been used. We read many of the Psalms that were written by him. He's a spiritual giant, if you would. And if I was back being 18 again and I could sit down, I would want to hear from someone like that. They have something to offer. And I say to you grads, I think that God has something precious for you today in this scripture. And I want you to listen. He's been there, done that. And he says to his son Solomon, now David's about to die. He's a king. He's in charge of a nation. He's about to die, about to pass on to his son the kingdom. And he says to his son, I've got something to say to you. And he begins in this way. He says in verse 3, "Keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn." There is a lot in that verse that is so good. The first thing I noted here is he's challenging his son to be committed. To be committed. And he speaks of this relationship. There's a relationship here. He says, "Your God." Do you see that? David says, "Keep the charge of the Lord your God." He's saying to his son, "Listen, you've seen me. You know about me. You know about my relationship to God. But now my God is your God." At some point, Solomon came to faith in the Lord. And this was his God now. This is a personal relationship. David's saying, be committed, but there is a relationship here, your God. And I want to encourage you young people to feed this relationship. If you've yet to come to faith in Christ, I'd encourage you to do that. And I want to say to you that wherever God takes you, whatever you do, there's nothing more important in life than this. This one thing. The most important thing in life is your relationship to God. Because it touches on everything you do, you say, you get into. It is the relationship that we must be so careful about here. And you need to feed this relationship. I want to read one scripture from Romans, the 12th chapter here. Romans 12, verse 1. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed." Romans 12, 2. "By the renewing of your mind." We renew our minds and through the Word of God, through our walk with Him, through taking time with Him. And further, it talks about in 1 Peter 2:2, to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow by it. So I want to say to you, in this relationship, if you know Him, and I'm trusting that you do, if not, I would encourage you to put your faith in Christ today. But feed that relationship by growing in your knowledge of Him. Through the Word, being aware of His presence, of His love for you, of His desire, of all that you have in Him. If you know Christ, what a tremendous treasure that is. We've been forgiven, we've been redeemed, we've been adopted, we have an inheritance in heaven, we have someone with us, we have someone praying for us. We have so much there. But I'll tell you what, when you get in the world, oftentimes this is the last thing you will think about in your day. Because you'll have a list of things you need to accomplish. I've got to do this, 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 and this, and so forth. And I say to our grads and to all of us, let's make sure that this is priority for us, this relationship. So he's saying to his son, be committed to God. Be committed to God. Guard this relationship. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for from it is the wellspring of life. So he's saying, he speaks to this relationship, and in this, as David's calling him to be committed, there is this profession of faith. One of the scriptures we read this morning was Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. And now I'm going to mess it up. Trev, you got me going on this now. You said you thought you messed it. I don't think you did. I think you hit it. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. There's no need to be ashamed. God has bought you. He loves you. This is His plan. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of pressure out there. This profession of faith. David knew his son's relationship to God. And at some point, Solomon had placed his faith in the Lord. And, you know, I know in our culture, there's a lot of pressure. And to speak of the Lord and a relationship with Him sometimes is the last thing that people want to hear or that we want to do. But I want to encourage you in a couple ways here. If you would say, I want to be bolder, I would say, draw nearer to God. If you'd say, I want to win souls for Christ, I would say what Jesus said, follow me. And I will make you to become fishers of men. And what it is here, if you want to grow in your boldness and your stand for Christ, and I hope you do, you need to get closer and closer and closer. This is all about relationship. The closer you get, the more you love Him, the easier it will be to stand for His great name. So stay true to God. Be committed to Him. Secondly, in 1 Kings 2, I note another thing. He's saying to his son, if you want to have success, you need to be committed to a worthy walk. Look again in 1 Kings 2, verse 3. David says to his son, keep the charge of the Lord, your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes, His commandments, His ordinances, and His testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses. So he's saying to his son, listen. I want you to be committed to the Lord, but I want you to be a doer of the word. Be committed to a worthy walk. Now notice in verse 2 of this same chapter, he calls Solomon to be courageous. Chapter 2, verse 2 of 1 Kings, I'm going to the way of all the earth. David said, I'm going to die. It's a father-son chat here. I'm going the way of the earth. David says, my days are few. And then he says this to his son, be strong, therefore, and keep yourself a man. He's saying, be courageous. Show yourself brave. This has to do with one's view of God. If I'm going to be courageous, as I head out as a senior into the world, if I'm going to be courageous as those that have been planted wherever God has called me, if I'm going to do that, my view of God must be a correct view. And it will be that view of God that either will help me dismiss my fears of man and so forth as I ought to, or that will overrule. These are so similar to the words that God gave to Joshua. When God took Moses from leading the Israelites, He gave that then commission and that leadership over to a man named Joshua. And Joshua 1, very similar words here as God is speaking to Joshua. He's saying something to him. This is Joshua 1:7. I'll start with 6. Be strong and courageous. He's been given the job of leading perhaps 1.5 million people across the desert into a promised land, a land that God has promised. And God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. You should give this people possession of land which I swore to their families to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. And he continues down that line when he gets to verse 8. He speaks much as David is speaking to Solomon. He's talking about the word, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. But you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. Your life is going to fly by. And what you determine in your own mind to be successful will really determine how you live your life and what you're going to hold to. God says, listen, look at my word, keep my ways, and then you will have success. You'll have true success there. So be committed to a worthy walk. Show yourself really brave here, but show yourself a student as well. I'm going to give a test right now. When was your last test? Thursday? Whatever. You guys, 2 Timothy 2:15, it's the Awana verse. Awana, approved workmen are not ashamed, but it's from 2 Timothy 2:15. I'll start you out. Any of you remember this? I won't call out your name. Study to show. All right. The rest of you guys, do you remember it? We're going to say they never were in Awana, right? Study to show yourself, approved unto God. Mr. Robinson, you can say it, can't you? an approved workman who needs not to be ashamed. And this is what, I want to encourage you in the Word. We've given you those Bibles, and those are not cheap. They are very nice Bibles, and I hope you'll wear them out as you're searching the Scripture. And folks, I have to tell you, one of the things I don't like to see it is if somebody has a Bible that they've had for years and it looks like it's brand new. Oh, maybe that's the only one maybe that's one just for church. But listen, this thing is to be looked at. This is our guide, our help, our light. And again, these things I'm throwing at you, they're hard. It's hard to be courageous. It's hard to be committed. And it's hard to be a student. But a student you must be. And what a deal to be a student of the Word of God, to understand it, to know what God has declared. What a great thing. And lastly, under this, be committed to a worthy walk, he's saying, Solomon, listen, you stick to the Word. Walk in the ways of the Lord to keep His statutes, His commandments, His ordinances, His testimony. Saying, Solomon, do what you know God has called you to do. I want to tell you guys, you will save yourself a lot of trouble if you will do that. There's a path of joy and freedom in front of that. And if you will be attentive to the Word and strive to do what you know God's called you to do, we look at it in the New Testament in this way. It's really what he's calling to is this worthy walk, and it's spoken of. Some of the folks are going to get this twice because they heard it once in Sunday school this morning. This is Ephesians 5. And I want to just read you a couple of verses from there. God has a lot to say about a worthy walk. And he mentions it in chapter 4, verse 1, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. This is what he says. What's a worthy life look like? Well, it looks like this. A worthy walk, I should say. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love. Verse 2. Just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering, sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. You're to walk in love. Your lives are an offering. It's like an incense to God. And then he mentions the negative things to stay away from here. Immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as proper among the saints. He's talking about being sexually pure there in action and in mind, in heart. In verse 4, talks about the tongue. There must be no filthiness, silly talk, or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And that's what our lives are to be. Really an offering to God that says, thanks. You're a great God. You've saved me. You redeemed me. You're with me. You're helping me. Not only do I have a home in heaven, I have purpose here on earth, here and now. God wants your lives to overflow with thanksgiving. Let me finish here. 1 Kings 2, last part of verse 3. He says to his son Solomon, be committed to true success. The last part of this verse says that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn. Those were his words. Be committed to true success. God defines that. The world doesn't. God defines that. What does it mean to be successful in God's eyes? Mark 8:36 says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? A lot of people doing great things out there and yet to know Christ or they're not living for Him. I would say to you, prove yourself to be a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. That's what the Scripture says in James 1:22. Be a doer of the Word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. Don't miss this connection. Solomon's success or lack of it would be what he did with the revelation that God had given. It's simply that. Solomon went on to be a very wise and prominent man, riches unbelievable, but his success or lack of it was determined upon what he did with the Word of God. Sadly, one of the things he did with the Word of God was he rejected some of its counsel. Deuteronomy, it talked about the king having one wife. Solomon had a whole lot more than that in it, and his wife stole his heart from, took his heart right away from God. He didn't live up to his full potential with God. Prove yourself a doer of the word. Prove yourself a faithful steward as well. You've been given a stewardship, a trust. You've been given the gospel. You have the word of God. And God's desire is that you do well with that. I'll read you just a couple more scriptures and then I'm going to close. The Apostle Paul was encouraging a young man, a young pastor. He said some wonderful words to him. He said, prove yourself basically a faithful steward in this way. And he says it in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and opposing arguments of what is called falsely knowledge. And he's saying, Timothy, guard the gospel, guard the word. Then he says in 2 Timothy 1:14, this, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which you have been entrusted to. We've passed on to you today. It's sort of like we're passing on the baton. Some of you know you've watched those races and track, and we really are, we've handed you the Word of God. We're passing it on to you. This is precious. It is the path to life. It is that which will determine your success or lack of it. And we're giving it to you. And you're part of this next generation that's going to go. And we want you to go and to shine the light of Christ wherever He calls you, whether that's at the university teaching, whether it's a farmer, whether it's here or there or wherever it is. God's going to place you in different areas of influence. And we desire that, and I believe God desires that you take that very seriously and shine the light of Christ for Him. I mentioned when I began this sermon that I've seen both ways here as far as young people going out and what they do with what God has given them. You're going to make history, each of you, and you're going to carve a path for yourself. And I'm asking you to consider today the wonderful words of God about His relationship, about commitment, about doing the Word, and about thinking about what true success is. And let me say to the congregation, those words are for you and I both. Some of you may be pursuing things that in the end are rubbish and they don't add up to nothing. And maybe you're sitting there and here I am proclaiming the Word of God to these young people, and inside your heart you're saying, amen, but the truth is I haven't opened the Word of God in a long time, and my time with the Lord isn't at all what it needs to be. And God calls us back today. He calls us back to that which is right and true. And I would encourage you to get into the Word, to study the Word, but to do the Word. Because God can work powerfully through His grace in your life to make a difference. I'm admonishing these young people and all of us to be true to God. That sermon wrapped up in four words. Be true to God. If you will, you'll be able to look back upon your life without a lot of regret, having lived well for Him. My prayer is that His grace would grant you the strength to be committed to the Word, to a worthy walk, and to meet with success. We have a grandfather here today. We have two grandsons here today. I'm going to ask Howard Erickson. He's going to come up, and he's going to do the benediction. Then Trevor is going to lead the worship group will lead in a song, and as they do that, grads, and during that song, if our grads would go to the back and line up, and after that song, you guys can be dismissed.
Yeah. Let's pray. Our Lord, we just give you thanks now for these graduates who are Nicholas and Jeffrey and Samuel and Clara and Robin, and just ask your blessing on them. And as they have more activities, honors convocation this afternoon and graduation Thursday night, I pray that they would be thankful for the instruction they got at the Bark River School, where many of the teachers proclaim Jesus as their Savior. And they still play Christian songs at the Christmas program, and you still wear symbols on your clothing. Just thank you for that. Thank you for the Bibles that were passed out now, and pray that each one would count it as a time of blessing and look forward to the time that they spend in your word each day. And Lord, I would pray that your Holy Spirit would be present with them, and that they would feel the presence of the Holy Spirit with them each day, that they would feel the comfort, that he would comfort him when comfort them when they're down and out, and just glorify you and share your joy. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit would allow them to proclaim that you are Lord and Savior now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.